You good?
Volsky. Are we recording?
It is recording, but we haven't started yet.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. Let me...
Don't fuck this up.
What's every...
Like clockwork.
Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the best hour of your day.
All right. It's because you said don't fuck this up.
Last piece of advice was don't fuck
this up. You crushed that intro.
Yeah,
that
was great. So let's just get right into it. But Ben,
you and I are going to get along. Yeah.
I've been dealing with him all weekend, Ben. We don't need another one. But welcome back. Best hour of their day on the couch. I feel there's no... You're sitting in a more manly position than I am, I feel, right now. Fact. Is this not manly sitting cross-legged?
I don't know. Gender's not a thing.
I got these toe spacers on.
Yeah. You don't you listen. Good, normally, what we would start doing right now is promoting the video portion of this, but we're not doing that at this point.
Check us out on YouTube. But we're still in Austin, Texas at the Rogue Invitational. We got Fern here, and we've got our special guest, Ben Jovulski.
That is a phenomenal pronunciation.
Thank you. I've worked really hard on that for the last 2 to 3 minutes.
Harder than you did on the intro, so that's good.
I'm taking Alpha Brain. We went to On It the other day. I'm gonna shoot Joe Rogan a text and tell him Alpha Brain does not work. Or maybe it's working, but my brain was
so low.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's getting back to baseline. It's
fitness. Yeah. I'm working my way to baseline.
He doesn't know what to do.
It's like, but Ben is the owner of Wad Prep, and he's also actually based. That's Arvada. It's considered Arvada, right? Where the offices?
Technically.
So my house is in the same town as your office. Yeah, we've never met, and here we are in Austin, Texas.
Here we are.
Where do you live in Colorado?
I'm in Denver proper.
So Arvada is like a suburb of
pretty
Denver.
Much. Yeah. We are essentially neighbors.
And you're originally from Maryland. You said you owned CrossFit.
I used to own Blue Crab CrossFit and then sold that.
Where in Maryland?
Basically by BWI Airport.
Oh, yeah.
Ever flown in there?
So you're right by CrossFit.
Federal Hill?
No, Federal Hill's like
no,
downtown.
But I know Gio pretty well.
Gio's a good dude.
Yeah.
Was it BWI that was right there across the BWI?
Yeah, there's a few. Oh, that's CrossFit gyms.
Ryan.
Yeah. Yes.
What's his last name? Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Dale Ryan King.
No.
It is Ryan.
It's Ryan, but they're the ones that launched the Mac.
No, 12 Labors.
That's 12 Labors.
They were all together when they did that. Okay.
This is 12 Labors is was
because the Mac is old.
Yeah, Mac's been around for a long time. Ryan,
I used to be in the Mac. I remember.
I want to say.
I think I did the first one ever.
All right. Do you want to talk about your regionals?
No,
right now?
That's not regionals at all. I'm just like that's really old. That was like 2010.
Ben,
maybe? I might have been there, man.
Yeah.
You know, just so you know, he beat Ben Smith in one workout 9 years ago.
Kind of hold on to that victory.
And he still talks about it yet.
Hey, I beat Alex Smith in a competition once. And that, I mean, that's on my resume.
Hey, listen, hold on to that.
I'll believe and you guys can
reminisce. We're going to get along, man.
This is going to be great.
You got Uncle Rico and Al Bundy here.
Listen, I'll throw that football right over the mountain, dude.
I happen to beat Fern in two workouts this week, though.
Wow.
Ooh. Two?
At least one.
Yeah.
Part A and part B of the same workout. Yeah,
that changed quick.
I want to hear more about Wad Prep, but I want to hear more about box ownership too. You sold your box in Maryland. What was that like? I get a lot of emails because I've sold boxes. What was your sale like?
It was actually fairly easy because I sold it back to the co-owner of the gym.
Your partner?
Yes, we were partners in it. We pretty much did 50-50. I guess it was technically 51 him, 49 me.
It's kind of like best hour, 51 for me, 49 for Fern.
Nice.
That's why the business suffers.
Watch out, man. He gave him control. Yeah. He has power, equity power.
He's going to start mandating things in the company.
So I basically what happened was I got engaged and she was in the military, so U.S. Navy. And with that, I was like, all right, I will not be staying in Maryland because she actually went the helicopter pilot route. So she went to Florida, Pensacola, Florida, to learn how to fly helicopters.
She flies 60s?
Sierras. Sierra.
Here we go. Military talk. You guys have so much in common. Yeah. So Fern's a Navy guy. His wife's still active duty Navy. She's actually in Africa, if you're not sure where that is on this map.
It's not South America.
Fern was trying to show us where Africa is. But so you have a, well, I guess I'm jumping the gun. Are you still married?
Next question.
Next question.
I had a feeling that that's where we were going. But so anyway, you sold the box. This woman, we shall not mention her name.
Yeah. Oh, everything's amicable. That's what everybody says. Still good.
So are all my ex-girlfriends. Yeah, we're all amicable.
So I moved from Maryland to Florida, to San Diego, to Japan for 3.5 years. And then the next duty station was Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, so that's how you wound up there.
That's why I'm in Colorado.
What was your favorite place that you lived out of all those?
Colorado's hard to beat, man.
Dude, I love, like, you know, Fern's trying to get us to move to Virginia Beach to open a Best Hour. Mm-hmm. Well, not the box. The box, obviously, Best Hour CrossFit is in Arvada, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. With all two of its clients. Yeah.
What's your MRR? What's your monthly revenue?
Oh, it's huge. I got to crunch some numbers and get back
I'll get back to you, but it's a lot.
True box ownership.
But like, I mean,
I don't know. I'll have to look at the reports. Yeah.
I want to say over $100.
Yeah.
Easy. That reminds me.
But hey, no Katie, overhead.
Katie, can you remind me to up Roz's membership rate when we get home?
We'll talk about that email later.
And then, you know, we've been here in Austin, which everybody flooded to either one of two places, really. Boulder.
Yeah.
And Austin.
For sure.
And now having been here again, I love Colorado. I mean, this weather's been great this weekend. I think people don't realize in Colorado, it's not... Oh, you don't want people to come there?
It's very cold and windy.
Yeah, it's terrible. You're right, it's all the terrible. Time.
Like, the sun is almost never out.
Yeah, you can't breathe. It's at altitude. So you wound up there and then you just stayed there?
Yeah, I mean, when I moved there, it'll be 3 years this upcoming April. So
what was the duty station? It was like a...
ROTC unit.
That's what I figured.
Yep. So she teaches ROTC
or something. Yep.
It's been pretty amazing. I mean, I've gotten into all the Colorado hobbies.
Yeah.
It's been cool.
What mountain biking?
Yes.
Do you mountain bike?
Yes.
We should go out together.
Hardcore. Love it.
Oh, I'm not hardcore. I fall a lot.
Yeah, that's fine.
But there's a great
loop. What helmets are for.
There's a great loop near me. You know, if you take 93, there's that gas station that always has a hot dog stand. Mm-hmm. There's a loop there.
Yeah.
It's like a 15-mile loop. It takes like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. It's a great loop, though, if you want to.
Sure. Is that where you secretly go eat hot dogs? You're like, hey, Roz, I'm going for a bike ride and just hang out with
the
hot dog stand for 2 hours.
No, but there's always a sign that's like, today only $1 hot dogs, but it's every day. And they always have like these.
He falls for it every time.
Yeah, he's like, listen, I want to support you guys and keep you guys.
I know here. It's running out soon, guys. Here's a dollar.
And they have like these. Hot rods, I want to call them, always in the area.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
Yeah,
interesting
it's like spot. A weird little gas station.
Yeah, man.
What else?
Mountain biking. I just actually got into backcountry elk hunting, so I did archery elk this season.
I really would love to do that with it.
Did you get any?
That's the whole story in itself.
It's hard to get an elk.
It's very hard. 10% success rate on tags, especially in archery season.
But if you want to shoot elk, Colorado's the place to be. It's like I think it's the highest elk population in the States.
I think that, yeah, technically the biggest herd. Yeah.
When you say 10% on tags, what does that mean?
Oh, 10% success rate, meaning like
you walk out with
for the people who buy licenses and go hunting. Right. Only 1 in 10 people are successful.
But technically, you need that license.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you have to.
Otherwise, you're a poacher and you get thrown under the jail.
You know, a bunch of the guys at the box that I train at Ralston Creek CrossFit go elk hunting, and they've never. I'm always like, "Cool, bring me back some elk." And they're either not telling me they're getting it, but I think more
it's
likely they're not getting it.
It's super difficult, but I will say this: it was the first time, not the first time, but it was like many other Colorado hobbies where I was just like, "Thank goodness I'm fit."
Right?
You know,
yeah.
Like,
here it's like
now I have applied fitness because of all this exercise I'm doing. I can actually hang in some other domain. It's like, oh, this is great. Like same thing with mountain biking, backcountry snowboarding, elk hunting. You know, those are kind of like the really big Colorado hobbies that I have. And they're very expensive and addicting.
So what's the challenge from a fitness perspective, elk hunting? I assume obviously if you catch an elk or kill an elk.
Yeah, you got to pack it and haul it out.
So, I mean, it was the most physically demanding thing I've ever done. No.
So what was demanding?
Packing in, like, so where we hunted, it was about a 7-8 mile hike into the wilderness, and that was up a mountain. So you climb a mountain into the wilderness carrying like a, my pack was probably 85 pounds.
Can I hire someone to just carry the pack?
And, you could. Like a Sherpa? Llamas. People will bring llamas sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. I was my own llama and I threw the backpack on and it was very strenuous. So going in 7 days or 7-8 miles, setting up camp. And then each day it's another, like, I mean, most days we were doing about 15 miles where we'd like, wow. We'd not with 80 pounds, but probably with like 30 pounds, you know, like,
yeah. Cause you just had a camp. And
yeah, exactly. And then kind of like do loops out of that. So
I feel like you keep looking at Fern when you're talking about manly stuff. And then looking at me when it's more like less, like more feminine.
Does I want to confirm your feelings. Yeah.
I'm going to start looking you in the eyes. So let me talk
to me about archery.
Let me tell you more about archery hunting.
Yeah. This makes me feel a little weird, but maybe because I've not felt that masculine, but I
still time.
We got to Fern. Time. You should come. You're coming out in January. Let's do a little, hunting with Ben.
You know, you would never survive in that scenario.
Yeah, in January, I don't think the season is still going.
I just meant from a standpoint of doing, like having to do something that's physically.
You know,
immediately he's like, can I hire a Sherpa?
Yeah. My fitness is not applicable.
No, it's not.
I can't apply it to anything.
He doesn't want to leave fitness. His basement. When he said he does mountain biking, I was like, I don't think you do.
I have a mountain bike.
You have a mountain bike. Yeah, that's where I was going to go with that. But it's never left the garage.
I blame the baby. Like, I just can't leave for that long right now. No, I mean, Ben and I were trying to get together and I'm like, I can't leave my, I, we stuck had a time basement. We were going to meet up and then I realized I had agoraphobia and I couldn't leave the house. So let's talk.
I always joke that he'd never be able to do hunting. Hunting is hard. Like it's uncomfortable. It's frustrating. And, but then you add on when you get into like bow hunting and you get into that kind of stuff. Now you're talking about like massive hikes, like to get in and out. You're going to cover. How long was that trip?
So my first trip was 10 days. We did like 100.
I was going to say you cover well over 100 miles.
138 miles, I think, in 10 days or something like that. It was nuts. And then I went out another 6 days and that was even harder.
Yeah.
Like it was just.
And there's nothing awesome. More frustrating than just sitting and doing nothing and getting nothing out of it.
Well, and that's the thing, though, is there was a couple days where we did still hunting where like there was one day where I sat in the log for 16 hours straight. Just sitting over a watering hole.
That's J speed.
But
yeah, I could do that easily.
But most of the time, if there is no sitting, like you were just moving.
Do you guys, because were you guys working with herd. A guide?
No, okay. No. It was so like one, I guess the second trip I went on, one of my friends who owns a CrossFit gym actually in, I don't know, somewhere in Colorado, like 45 minutes south of us. His name's Kurt. He is a hunting guide, but I wasn't paying him to guide this trip. But yeah, it's awesome. So that's like very much applied fitness where it's like
100%.
The only way that I'm able to get through that with all the blisters and just the pain and everything is just like, and also find joy in it is
fitness
because I'm used to punishing myself in the gym mentally and physically.
So, you know, speaking of, you know, when you and I were communicating, you kept being like, I'm going to be here for 10 days. I'm like, what's this dude do? Like, he's always gone for 10 days. You're like, I'm biking. I'm hunting. You can't do that when you own a box. Well, let me rephrase that. You can do it when you own a box if you own a successful box.
You
should be able to do it.
Yeah.
You, though, pivoted.
Correct.
Into WOD prep.
Yep.
Give us the backstory of that. When did it start and why did it start?
Of course. So when I previously owned that CrossFit gym, Blue Crab CrossFit, got engaged, moved from Maryland to Florida. And then in that move,
you were in Florida.
Yeah. Pensacola.
Right. Cause you had WOD prep then.
Yeah. I bought the domain name.
Right. Because I was in Florida. I think we had some overlap and a lot of the people at Real Fitness would talk about WOD prep.
Okay.
And like Talena, you know, Talena.
I don't know.
Fortunato.
Yeah.
Really?
There was a few.
Yeah, people. Like I remember her from the games.
Yeah, there was a few people that. Okay, so there was a little bit of overlap. Okay. I feel like
were we brothers?
I think we have the same mom.
Are we related? So I was in Florida, and that's when we got the news that we were moving to Japan. Like they were like, "Hey, your next like the next big duty station is Japan once you pass through San Diego," and I was like, "Oh no!" Like
Yokosuka or Sasebo?
Atsugi.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like right. The Naval Air Station, 45 minutes outside of Tokyo.
How long did you live in Japan?
3.5 years.
Did you like it there?
I loved it.
That was my question to you. Like, Japan is like, there's nobody that falls in the middle.
No, there is no middle ground.
You either hate it or you love it.
It was absolutely outstanding. And life is what you make of it, man. I mean, if you lived in Japan and didn't have fun, like, you were looking at it from the wrong perspective, because it was absolutely
incredible. What year were you there?
Incredible.
What years were you there?
I was there from 2016 to 2019.
And so you left right before the whole island went on like complete lockdown.
Right. So like, obviously, like, it sucks because the people who were there during the pandemic, like, because they straight up locked down the military base.
Super locked down. Yeah.
And that would be terrible.
Did you speak Japanese?
Squishy.
A little bit.
A little bit. I figured that out. How about sushi? Good sushi there?
Oh yeah.
Like the best, is it hard for you to have sushi now because you ate the best sushi?
There's actually a pretty good sushi scene in Denver.
Yeah, what's your favorite sushi spot in Denver? There's a place called Go Fish.
I'm trying to remember the name. I forget. There's a couple that are good. I don't remember.
Fern and I had great sushi in Seattle.
Was it great? We went to a sushi spot that was the Golden Corral of sushi.
It was the Sizzler.
Dude, don't knock Western Sizzler. I didn't say anything about Sizzler. I get some quality meals at Western Sizzler. Oh, yeah, I'd go on and be like, I am gonna make you lose money on me. You think $11.99 is gonna prevent me from taking your money?
There's no way you beat the guy that was sitting next
to us. Oh, that dude was legit. So you go from Japan to Boulder.
Yep.
And when in there does WOD prep kind of start to
WOD prep started in, like I said, kind of in Florida, in Pensacola, Florida. I literally just decided, I think for the 2014 Open, I was trying to figure out how can I like start to do some sort of coaching project. And what I did was I started a Facebook page. WOD prep was the name because it was the domain name was available. So I bought WODprep.com and I was like, all right, this is my brand. And then I started releasing Facebook videos or videos on Facebook under the WOD prep name about the Open, like 14.1 strategy guide, 14.2 strategy guide, so on and so forth. And I would just
remember your first one?
Say what?
Do you remember your actual first
video?
Video and what workout it was and what
it was 14.1.
What was that workout?
I don't remember the actual workout. Yeah.
That might have been the one we did at the box Carhu the other day.
No, I thought he said it was 15.2 or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
No, that was the one they hosted.
Yeah. But anyway, you the workout pops up by Castro.
Yeah.
And so you're like,
I had this idea to like, I was like, hey, you know, how if I can't run my gym anymore, I'm getting out of that. I'm unemployable. Like I've always started my own business.
What's your back? Did you go to college?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd you go?
In North Carolina State. I was on their fishing team. Wolfpack.
They legit have a fishing team?
Uh-huh.
That's great.
They were, when I was there, number one in the nation.
How many other teams?
Hundreds and hundreds. Like, think
of Division One?
Mostly in the SEC.
So it's technically a club, which is cool because I actually made like $94,000 in college fishing or something like that. And I got to keep it all because
you're not in
club sport. It wasn't NCAA sanctioned.
Yeah, it's not sanctioned by the clearinghouse. Yeah.
That's why you didn't make money in college because you were a Division One athlete?
Well, it was illegal then. It's not now.
You can make money off your name now, right?
They just changed it. Yeah, because Lamar Odom started that. I'm pretty sure it was Lamar Odom started that. That was like a class action lawsuit that happened.
Oh, that's huge.
Years ago. And there's guys in that play like some big names like in the SEC. They play for Alabama and some of those other schools. $1 million.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go Division One because of the money thing, you know?
Yeah, same. You know, I was like between bass fishing, football, and basketball. You know, yeah, I had to choose.
Basketball.
Dude, well, you win. Yeah. It was far less stressful to bass fish, and you made way more money than I made.
Yeah. So. It was fun, man. I mean, we had a good time. But
so you're unemployable because you've never had a, you know, quote unquote.
My own businesses since, I mean, I just came from an entrepreneurship conference down in Mexico City.
Why you were there?
That's where I was before this. And
who was there?
Just a ton of online business owners, various like areas, various.
Did they mention us?
No, but I mean, I'm sure it's just a matter of time.
Yeah. I mean,
you guys are
glad they didn't.
You guys,
for the record, I would have been angry if they used our name.
You guys are playing at such a high level. I mean, it's, you know,
set the bar at the right level. Like, this is not like Grant Cardone 10x, we're like 100x.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So why stop at 10?
We have a new company. It's 11x.
11x. 10.9x.
So unemployable like us because you're an entrepreneur. And then when you sold the box, you're like, I need to figure this out.
And when it started, it was actually really interesting. So I started Wad Prep, and the original game plan was, I mean, I had owned a gym. I'd been coaching for, you know, like 5 years at that point, at least 6 years. And I start Wad Prep, and the whole plan was to like get good coaches and athletes to like be the people that give the information. And I kind of facilitate it because I was like regional ish level, you know, like I was like always like bubble boy making it to regionals. So like, I was like, I'm not good enough to teach people how to do this. And I'm not, you know, a world-class coach yet. So my first video, I was actually supposed to interview my friend who's a games athlete.
Who's this?
Well, he didn't make it, but it was Gary Helmick. So
my he's buddy, one of those guys. Yeah. I'm gonna go to the games.
No.
I actually have heard
him. He was always on the bubble, dude.
Yeah, I've heard that name.
So him and his wife were the first like individual couple to qualify, which is pretty amazing.
Based out of where?
Out of Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, out of Maryland.
So 14-1 comes out, and I was like, Gary, like, you know, like I'm starting this company. It's gonna be great. Like, can I interview you so I can get tips on how to approach this workout? Long story short, the workout came out, and he just like kind of had to bail. He was busy. So we didn't like come to our meeting, and I was like,
"You had one job, Gary. Show up for 14-1.
Thanks, Gary."
And I was just like, "Oh man,
truck on without you."
Like I should have had a backup plan. I guess I'll come up with tips and like release this video where I was kind of just like afraid. I was like, "Hey, like I'm not a games athlete, but like here are my suggestions, and maybe you consider this, do this." And I put it on Facebook, and the feedback I got was like, "This is great."
Yeah, there wasn't really anyone doing that.
It was Rudy from Outlaw. That was it.
Yeah.
Like Rudy from Outlaw was making stuff where it was like, you know.
People right now are like Googling who's Rudy from Outlaw. But back in the day,
find a couple of lawsuits.
Some pictures out there. It was basically him and Ben and like OPT were like the three main programmers.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
But I don't.
He was one of the first ones that really started like laying down volume.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We followed Outlaw at Albany Cross. We could talk about that with
Kevin
later.
17 parts to the workout.
Oh, it was a heavy lift, a Metcon, and, it was destroying people.
Did you ever go to that box? Have you ever been there?
No.
You drive right by it. It's like...
It's kind of a hole in the wall.
It's like right down the street from Trident.
Yeah.
What was when they were both in that area. Yeah.
So you got really good feedback on that?
Yeah. So I released that first video, and I kind of just like... because since I was an affiliate owner, I knew all the local Baltimore affiliate owners. I knew some down in Florida, and I just kind of like put it out there and sent it to all of them. They shared it in their member groups. And then like by the end of the weekend, it had a couple thousand views. Like for our first video, I was like, oh,
it's phenomenal.
All right. Like that's pretty good. So the next week, I think I was trying to get CJ Martin on because I was following Invictus for at that time. And it was the same thing where he was like, I think I might be able to do it. And then like, I was like, I don't think he's going to actually show up. And then he's like, hey man, like I'm busy. And I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm doing 14.2 too.
It's just me.
And then, so I made it again and I got another round of really good feedback. And I was like, you know what? I can do this. I'm going to be the coach. And then that was when Wad Prep like took off. Cause I just started real, like people were like, you explained it really well and you don't make it so like, I'm not saying like, hey, for the round of 22 chest to bar, just hit those unbroken and then, you know, move on to the next set. It's
what other plan would there be?
Right. Most people who are watching these videos are like, hey, like I need to figure out
how should I break up the tens?
Right. Or like, how do I do a chest to bar pull up? Like, what if I can't touch my chest to the bar? So I very quickly, based on the feedback of this first couple of videos, realized that one, people would trust me and like me as an expert. And two, when I explained things like really simply and didn't make it like elitist, like I didn't make it like only for high level RX regional bound athletes. I made it for like, hey, 98% of the people watching the video, if you can't do this movement, try this. Like, here's a tip to help you get better at this. And I just started dropping those little nuggets that I've been using over years and years of coaching. And people are like, I love it. And then that's where I kind of like started carving this path out of like, oh, I'm going to help people like learn how to do RX workouts, not take RX people and take them to regionals. Like I want
to
speak
to the masses at that point. Like that's where I think a lot of people kind of make a mistake is that they try to talk to 1%. I'm like, just talk to everybody. Like you can, it's really hard to split 1%. Well, it's pretty easy to split 99.
And when I was learning about business too, cause I was doing a lot of business book reading at that time, mainly it was for the affiliate to grow it. And then when I realized, you know, selling that, it was kind of just like personal development, business development stuff. And I just realized I'm like, Dude, the market is bigger over here in the scaled to RX division. Bigger.
It's everybody.
It is the market.
Yeah, it is.
The market is not the games athletes. They all have coaches. They're all doing their own thing.
For reference, Fern and I showed up to a box yesterday and hopped into the competitor class. Yeah. And it's like, we're not that good.
Yeah.
And that means if we're not that good and we're still like at that level, everybody else.
Right.
Is, you know,
we didn't get blown out. You know, like,
I won.
You did not win. Katie beat you, dude.
Katie, her bar muscle ups were suspect. It's her subject. We don't need to bring that up. Insert video of Katie's bar muscle ups here. Feet are a little above the bar.
But oh, point the old glide kip.
Yeah, she glide kipped.
I think they should allow the glide kip, by the way. It's technique.
And then they're going to start allowing that like backwards kip for the muscle up.
Who cares? It's harder. It's like, it's the same. It's the butterfly. This is the same discussion on the, but they're like, everyone, I mean, it's cheating. And I'm like, cop up there and do one. And you walk up and they look like a, you know,
true
wet laundry flapping in the wind. And you're like,
that's like when someone's like kipping is cheating. I'm like, do it then.
Do it. Yeah. It requires a lot of coordination and stamina for that.
Point is you're absolutely right. That was smart to make that decision. Cause 99% of CrossFitters fall into that bucket, I would say.
Yep.
Maybe a little less, like, but you go to an average class and look around. If it's not happening, it's because the coach is doing a bad job. 9 out of 10 people should be scaling.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's, I mean, what I realized also, like, not only do most people need to scale, especially like, let's say they're just following some blanket competition training program and they just throw that at their gym. It's like, all right, if every single person in your class needs to scale, like perhaps the stimulus of this workout might not be designed properly for your membership base. And then also when you have this workout and it's long and hard and you can't figure out how to get everybody to like be able to get the right stimulus out of it, you also like lose a lot of class time, like not being able to actually teach people. And what I realized like really quickly is like, people have never been taught how to do double unders. They're just like, all right, if you can't do double unders, do 2-to-1 single unders. Yeah. Right. And that's it.
Go practice for 10 minutes.
Right. And a lot of them won't even do that. It's like, oh, we don't have time for this anymore.
I'll intentionally teach more, you know, simple movements in a lot of those instances at like level twos, just to expose people to that.
Yeah.
And the flow master, whoever, will always say, how many of you guys have either have somebody taught you like jump roping or kettlebell swings or rowing
or press?
Or press or something like that, and like almost nobody will raise their hand.
Right,
like, right. Like, you can teach these movements, and you can get people double unders instead of like, well, you just work on it on your own.
Oh my
like,
gosh, that's not helpful. Absolutely. I mean, like taking everything and making it into some sort of progression is like that's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, we tell coaches that all the time. You should have a progression for everything.
Yeah,
burpee. You should have a progression like ready to go.
I mean, yeah, Fern, think about it. We've each worked 200 plus level ones. At almost all of them, not all, but most, someone gets their first muscle up.
The vast majority.
Yeah, I would say 9 out of 10, someone's getting a muscle up. And it, you know, that's simply because we worked on it for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're spending hours on it. We're like, hey, have you done a false grip?
No, it's more like 30 probably by the end.
I mean, every single, so I do seminars, especially like in the Colorado area. I'll just like do free
seminars. You want to do one at Best Hour CrossFit?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, the members are a pain in the ass, but
yeah, all right.
And I love it. If you can get through to my one member, she's a tough one.
She's a tough cookie.
She's very, yeah.
A bit stubborn.
Very stubborn. Doesn't have sex with me as much as she should. But
you're not supposed to have sex with your members. That's you guys not talk about
that. That was my first mistake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mistake number one. Not the first time either.
It's amazing how just like a couple accurately placed cues, like just teaching someone the false grip without saying like, oh yeah, you get a false grip. It's like, that is not coaching. You have to like explain like karate chop, the bottom of the ring. If the ring is sitting in the crease right here, then we grab and like walking them through it. And they're just like, oh, and then boom, muscle ups.
I'm interested to hear this. You sound like a pretty good coach. You can talk pretty well. I mean, you're amongst two professionals, so you don't sound quite that great, but no, you sound great. Why wasn't your journey to make it on seminar staff?
So when I did my level two, like 10 years ago,
it's like, expired.
Yeah. Like it's super expired.
Where'd you do it?
I did it in
Japan,
Hendel's gym in Charlotte.
Okay.
Yeah. So I did it there. So and this was back when it was called the coaching prep course.
Like, yeah. It was CPC way back in the day.
In between when I got my level two and now the current level two, there was a coaches prep course.
Yeah, that was the intermediate course when they transitioned to the format of that and we're moving it to more of the instructional base, where before it was just come in, get hammered, and then you probably didn't make it.
And now you earn your level four, me. But and that was when, also correct me if I'm wrong, people like randoms were showing up to be coached. There was a period of time where they were doing that. Like you can sign up.
No, not at the CBC, just at the old level two.
At the old level? Yeah. Okay. Because when I taught the level two, like we were teaching the other participants, and I think they were like, these guys are fixing themselves too quickly and move pretty well. So then they started allowing, you know, you can volunteer to be a mover there.
Right. And then you'd actually get coached by. Yeah, that's cool.
And so then you took the coaches prep. So Andy at Andy Hendel's box in which Carolina? Okay.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina. And Vern actually just did a fundraiser for Andy. He had a heart attack.
No way.
Still alive.
I mean, I'm pretty sure he's still in intensive care. I need to text Spencer, but he was doing a fundraiser. He was doing a century ride for Navy SEAL Foundation, and he had a massive heart attack.
Jeez.
Yeah. And tell him what the workout was.
So Cassidy made the workout, and
Fern's head coach.
And then CrossFit picked it up, but it was
did CrossFit pick up Cassidy's workout?
I think so.
That's cool.
That's what I heard. It was a 5K row, 500 double unders, 5K ski, 5K bike, 5 mile run.
It was a 5 mile run?
Yeah, not
5K. I thought it was a 5K when you
I did too, and I was not super stoked about it when I showed up on Sunday.
What was the five? It was quintuple bypass, I assume, something like that.
No, it's just like quintuple five is what he called it.
Yeah. Jeez, so anyway, man. you take your coach's prep course, and what were you gonna say about that?
I mean, first of all, I hope Andy's all right. I mean, I hung out with Spencer for a little while there when back in the glory days of competing. That's crazy, man. So what was the question?
I asked you why you never made the decision to go to seminar.
So I believe it was, I think it was Nicole.
Carol?
Yes, maybe. She was one of
I bet you it was Nicole Gordon.
Yes, Nicole Gordon. So
she's in Colorado now, funny enough.
Oh, really? Yeah. So she, at that seminar, because I was trained under Christmas Abbott.
Okay.
For like, I went to CrossFit Invoke. Raleigh, and like, she did a really good job of like developing our coach, like the coaching staff there. Mm-hmm. Like, she's the one that like saw like me and was like, hey, I think you could be a good coach. You move well and you can talk to people. Like, let me kind of take you under my wing, teach you how to be a coach. So she taught me a lot of the level two stuff before I even went to the level two. I go there, do all right. And then Nicole was like, you should be seminar staff. Like, come. Oh, cool. Like, come, like, and she, like, we, like, emailed back and
Nicole's
forth.
Nicole's like that. She's, some people on seven, in general in life, I could say, are, like, very scarcity. Mm-hmm. Where Nicole's like, that person's great. Abundance.
So she reached out, like, we talked about it, and I was, like, I was very keen to do that. But when I realized that we're moving to Japan, like, basically, it was, like, a couple things fell into place. I took a crack at a couple WOD prep videos and always had this, like, hey, I could potentially go down the route of being seminar staff, because I'm friends with Megan Burns as well.
Megan's awesome. I was in the Northeast for a bit, for a long time. And, you know, Meg was at Reebok, but I know Meg is close with Christmas.
Yeah. So like, we were really,
well, she worked at Invoke for a long time.
Yeah. She was a coach with me.
Was on the podcast 2 or 3 years ago now. Nice. Yeah.
So long story short, had a couple connections like in that realm. And asked her about it, and it sounded like a good idea. But essentially, like, WOD prep just kind of got legs and started moving. Cool. For me, it's like, man, I'm unemployable. You know, like I love building my own stuff. So it was kind of like, if WOD prep failed, I definitely would have, like, that would have been the kind of no brainer where I would have gone and tried to be on the Southeast Asia like team.
Yeah, I'm sure that,
because I was living in Japan. But yeah, anyway, so that's why. But it's always been something I would be interested in.
So what products/services do you offer? So if somebody's listening to this, okay, I get it.
Like, yeah, sure.
He did some WOD prep videos.
Yeah, because like, it's virtual. You don't have to come to Arvada.
Correct.
You could do a drop-in at Best Hour Cross for $25. You don't get a free t-shirt. We don't even have t-shirts, to be quite honest.
Man,
no shirts allowed.
You gotta remind me, I have t-shirts for both of you guys.
Thank you.
Sweet. And I have one for the camera woman as well.
This is, that just young happens dated. To be an extra because you had no idea Katie was gonna be here.
Surprise.
Oh, you're a men's large, right, Katie?
So let me back up a little bit more. So, like, one, the reason, like, the real reason I started WOD Prep and, like, got really fired up about it is because I realized that, like, we all want people to fall in love with fitness, right? That's, like, my mantra is I want people to fall in love with fitness. The only thing that made me fall in love with fitness and actually look forward to bettering myself in the gym mentally, physically, was CrossFit, because of the constantly varied nature, the competitive side of things. Like, I loved it. It finally made me fall in love with fitness when I used to, like, do bodybuilding for a couple of weeks and then bail for a month.
You're doing that for the wrong reasons, like me. You're doing it because I want to look good. I want to impress some girls.
Right.
Where
CrossFit was for me.
Yeah, it's the best hour of your day.
Yes.
Would you agree with that statement?
I would say that, yeah.
Some people disagree.
Yeah, it was the best hour. And best, I think, is maybe with a grain of salt. Mentally, are you like, this is fun in the middle of it? No. But, like, is it the best hour of your day for you? Yes. No,
that's why we like Ben.
He gets it.
So
this is why we like Ben.
So what I realized is that when I was starting WOD Prep, I was like trying to come up with my mission. Like, what am I doing this for? And I realized that the thing as a coach, because I, again, owned my gym for a couple years and coached a bunch of classes at Invoke and Titan and a bunch of other gyms. The thing that made people go, oh, like, I can do this and, like, fall in love with CrossFit was when I could get them their first pull up,
new skill,
their first double. Like, when I have a 52-year-old that learns something new, it's just like their eyes open up and their whole world has changed. They're like, oh my God, I haven't learned something new in a really long time.
It's the best feeling ever.
And I can, like, it's bringing me tingles just talking.
Do you
about
have
it.
A specific memory? Cause I'm sure we all do, of, like, a specific person got their first muscle up or handstand push-up or double.
Yes. So there was this guy, Andrew, at my gym that, like, registered for the Open.
At Blue Crab?
Yeah. He registered for the Open. He was kind of, like, not a super confident guy, but he came. He, like, bought our Living Social way, way back in the day, and, like, which is basically Groupon, like a knockoff for Groupon.
Oh, yeah, Living Social. I remember that.
He came and joined. Anyway, long story short, he'd been in our gym for, like, a year, and, like, he had developed confidence. He, like, started dating someone, and it was awesome. And then we had the Open, and the snatch double under workout, like the light snatch. Ooh,
that was the very first Open workout.
It was 10 rounds, right? Of, no, 15
the
and 30.
The snatch double under was AMRAP, 30 dubs,
10 snatches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was when 15. They lost their mind, because they're like, we can't do double unders. And you told us to sign up for the Open. And then they had the glitch in the...
Oh, there was all kinds of glitches.
Yeah.
I think it was 10 minutes of 15 and 30.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it started because
people were getting, like, 10 rounds, and that was, like,
yeah, I think you're right. It was good. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. So I remember,
we get derailed, Andrew, on, like,
specifics. Andrew. Yeah. There's tangents. It's okay. It's
mostly awful. Fern though. So sorry about him.
Yeah. That's what everybody thinks.
So Andrew's about to go, and he's like, I can't do this. I'm not going to do this. And I, like, work with him for a little bit. And I told him, you know, a couple of progressions that I use for double unders. And then I remember we kind of do 3-2-1 go, like, everybody's going and people are watching him, and he hits his first double under, and he just was like, holy shit, I did it. You know? And then just, can we cuss on here? Oops.
You can't.
Not allowed. Fern gets a lot of negative feedback about his, yeah.
You potty mouth. You. Yeah. So he hits it, and he just kind of, like, you can just see his confidence grow. And then he just keeps getting better and better and better in the workout. And then was able to keep the rope spinning, and then hit multiple and broke it. And it's just, like, everything started lining up. That's, like, one really clear memory where I'm just like when someone says, I don't think I can do that, and then I can coach them through that mentally and physically, and then it clicks. That aha moment is what makes so many people fall in love with CrossFit. That's, right.
I mean, my favorite CrossFit quote is,
the greatest adaptation to CrossFit takes place between the ears. Think about that for a moment. The greatest adaptation to CrossFit takes place right here in our minds.
Greg Amundsen repeats it a lot. It's a Coach Glassman quote, but that's the thing, right? Like, you especially double unders, I'm always like, can you jump up and down? We do this at level ones. Can you jump up and down? Can you flick your wrists?
Yeah.
You can do double unders.
Yeah.
Like, and then I'm sure that confidence in that workout not only gave him confidence in other movements, but confidence in life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you kind of saw it like a shift in him. But
he got to be a dick at some point, right? Like he was like, dude, you're not that good. You got freaking double unders. Like, yeah. Calm down.
Calm down. All right.
Welcome. Welcome.
So that's just like one specific example. But what I realized starting WOD prep was like, the more I can facilitate that aha moment, whether it's muscle ups, pull ups, double unders, the more like aha moments I can give to people, the higher chance that they're going to fall in love with fitness and then their lives will be changed. And like my aunts and uncles still go to the gym that I founded, you know, like I guess 9 years ago at this point, they still go and they're still called Aunt Carol, you know, Aunt,
that's awesome.
Aunt Jane, like people in the gym don't even know who I am anymore. And then they're that's still cool. Calling them aunt, uncle, which is awesome.
Culture you created there.
Yeah.
What's your best selling program?
Probably, now it's our all access pass. Cause basically we created like 30 different movement programs and then we just kind of bundle them all up. So the all access pass is the bestseller now.
And
but
so
we have one for double unders unleashed is a very good course,
but they get that in the all access.
They would. Yeah.
And now are the programs primarily video or PDF based?
It's video, all video based.
And it's you.
Yeah. It's me basically teaching them, walking them through the progressions that I learned over the years, coaching a bunch of people. And then all the drill, like basically it's like, here are the progressions, points of performance, a common fault. Like there's a lot of faults people make. And I like make videos specifically about how to fix those faults. And then they also come with accessory programming. Like, so 3 times per week, about 15 to 20 minutes per day. We give you like a little bit of accessory work. Cause you know, like with ring muscle up, it's like, if you have the prereq strength and mobility, it's like, all I need to do is teach you a few like skills, the turnover, you know, how to keep the rings in the right position, the false grip. We work a bunch of different variants of that drill. And then by the end of 8 weeks, they normally have a muscle up.
Cause they're not only gaining technique, but also strength for those techniques as well. Mm-hmm. And even for something like the double under, there's accessory programming.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So like I know someone will probably debunk this, but I
could do it.
I'm pretty sure you guys know the penguin clap drill.
Yeah, we use it.
I'm pretty sure I invented that.
I think I did.
It's a great drill.
Because I was coaching at CrossFit Invo.
Most people call it the Ackerman Penguin Tap Drill.
Because you're as tall as a penguin. Pretty sure so.
I created it.
Because that's what you look like. You just look like a penguin hopping around. They're like, that. Oh, that drill?
No, not for that reason.
My next seminar, I'm going to be like, all right, everyone, we're going to practice the Ackerman.
Yeah, if you just say the Ackerman, they'll know exactly what you're
talking about. Does that mean we just walk out when the workout starts? Just avoid all the work?
Oh, that's so good. But I'm like literally like one of my first classes at CrossFit Invoke. Like, I mean, we're talking over 10 years ago at this point. I had double unders and Christmas was like, hey, yeah, I'm not going to tell you anything. Like, good luck teaching it. And everyone kept tripping with the rope. And I was like, everybody put your ropes down.
Put your damn ropes down.
I just jump up and down. Like, just everyone stop. And then I just was like, you know, let's flick our wrists. And then I like clapped the side of my hips. I was like, oh, let's just do this where you jump and you just tap the side of your hips. And
that's what I was going to ask you, to explain that for anybody that hasn't seen or done that.
Just Google Ackerman penguin tap drill and you'll find it.
If you search like double under penguin clap on YouTube, I know we have a video about it.
It's funny how a lot of the things in your life, though, in a very cool way, were just kind of like almost like accidental. But what's the quote about when luck meets
opportunity
or hard work? Yeah. Like, you also have a lot of what I feel like.
I think that's barrier. Entrepreneurship in general.
Yeah, but
for sure,
box owners have that mental barrier and fear.
Hmm.
And I think like part of it is at a young age for all of us, we were maybe not as much for Fern. He was in the military. But for us, it sounds like out of college, it was like, I'm not getting a job.
Yeah.
And then when you just kind of that becomes your norm, you're like, well, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. I do this. And for a lot of people that want to open a box, they are in the real world and it's like very scary.
Yeah.
But for me,
it's terrifying. I mean, let's just call it what it is. If you had a real job prior to that, and all of a sudden it's like you only eat what you kill, there's a lot of stress there.
But
you
there's know,
that was a stressor that I had when I left. I wanted nothing more.
You're going to be a dentist.
I wanted nothing more than to leave the military. Like, I mean, I was waiting. Like from the day I joined, I was like, I cannot wait until I get out.
10 years, 11 like, years cannot, later.
12, it's like every military person I've ever
met. Ever, right? And then I had like two. I don't think I had like actual panic attacks, but I had like probably as close as a panic attack that I would have. I was the day I went on terminal leave, I was flying to do a level one seminar in Charlotte.
But you were already on staff.
Yeah. Because
you even had some sort of backup.
I had two jobs already lined up. Technically three. I had the gym. I was on seminar staff, and I was the executive director for 31 Heroes. And so I had three forms of employment when I left, and I still freaked out. And then the second one was the actual day I left the military. Like, I was like, nobody cares where I'm at. So yeah, I mean, like, leaving the military.
And you had a sugar mama.
Yeah, my wife is still in. So like, leaving that, it's a big deal. And going into your own business can feel very much the same, which is like, you're pretty much on an island. Like, you're there. And if things explode, that's it.
But for like Ben and myself, we never had that job.
Right.
So it's different.
I thrive in chaos. Yeah. Like, I'm ready for that environment.
And I do too. But the point was, it was still even though I wanted to do it, and even though it very much fits my personality, it was not the norm. So yeah. I struggled immensely with it
that transition is probably quite alarming.
It was a lot. And it was weird because I really didn't enjoy being in the military. Like, I didn't fit, you know, square peg, round hole. Yeah. I didn't really enjoy my job. I enjoyed certain aspects of my job.
But then as soon as that like carpet is pulled out from underneath you, you're like, oh no,
I don't get paid every 2 weeks, yeah, whether I go to work or not. I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. No, but that's cool. So how many programs do you sell?
I think technically we have, like, if you break them out individually, I think we have like 30 different courses at this point, kind of spanning everything. Like,
right.
We have some ability stuff. We have basically a lot of the, like, imagine a scaled to RX journey. We have a lot of those. Right. So like your first unbroken double unders, bar muscle ups, ring muscle ups, handstand pushups, handstand walks. And there's a whole bunch, toes to bar.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole bunch more rope climbs. We have the same style of course where it's like, right, we teach you the progressions. We teach you like the common faults,
right,
the way that we know how to teach, and then have some accessory programming to go with it. And then we also have like an online affiliate, you know, or I can't call it an online affiliate, but like I tried to affiliate, and they're like, you can't just have an online gym.
Right.
I have like an online thing called Wad Prep Masters, which is a online Facebook group / daily programming for masters athletes. And we especially cater to scaled masters athletes. So 35 years or older, anyone who's trying to like get better at this thing called CrossFit and pick up new skills, we have a basically like an online community for that.
So what's the core components with regard to programming? Because I would actually, this is probably fact, the vast majority of boxes, that is their demographic. Mm-hmm. 35-year-olds who need to scale workouts.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
There's a lot of business strategy that goes into the programs that we launch. You know, I mean, it's like that.
I mean, clearly you put some thought into it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that a lot of box owners do put a lot of thought into it. But who is my demographic? Like, what is the vast majority of my customers? What do they look like? Like, how old are they? Do they care about being competitive? Like, any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But what are some core components of that when you guys are writing programs and programming?
So I have a whole team of coaches that are much better at writing programming than I am, right? So they're the ones that are in charge of basically all the programming and actual specific coaching anymore. But I do know that like the main thing for our master's program is volume management. And then also like tapering like during the week,
mm-hmm,
like, you know, like basically like Monday will be a heavier, stronger, higher volume day. And then we taper it by the time you're getting to like Thursday, right, which is, you know, normally some sort of programmed active recovery thing. We, rather than just like beating the crap out of people every day or just having like just beat down days randomly thrown in, we kind of very strategically like have a bigger day and then it just kind of tapers. So Wednesday's workout is usually less hard than Monday's workout, because by the time, especially as a master's athlete, we have a lot of people in there that are like in their 60s. We have a few 70-year-olds. Like, by the time you're getting to the third workout day, right, in a row, like your body's a little bit more banged up. We give you a rest day. So that's it. And then
have you taken the master's course?
Say what? No, I have not.
They teach a lot of that, but I mean, essentially what you're talking about is like very intentionally identifying and modulating intensity.
Yes.
Masters, sure, in my opinion, are the worst because, and I've seen it at numerous boxes and I see it in the masters. What are you laughing at?
It's just masters are the worst.
Well, I'm a man. I mean, I'm 43, but I think
if you're a masters athlete, listen to this, you're terrible.
Well, I'm in the masters group and I see some of the questions and I'm like, you fuckers need rest. Like,
dude.
And that, and my, when I say that the worst, I, here's what I think. And I see it in one other population, which I'll tread lightly on because I don't want to get canceled again. But again? It's people that get fitter later and they're like, well, this much is good.
More is better.
More, and totally. And the other place I see it are people that lost significant amounts of weight, mm-hmm. because it becomes like, well, I need to do more. I need to eat less. And it's like, or now modulate, like Fern said, and kind of let's find a balance that you can sustain. Totally. And mass, because I see masters, even at our box, they're like, I woke up this morning, I went for a 3-mile run. I'm like, I see your whoop. Like, you slept 3 hours. Like, you would have been better off sleeping.
Totally.
Than doing more. And by the way, what is running doing for you?
Right. There's a
like,
lot of wear and tear.
You need this skill work. Like, you don't have pull-ups. Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry about losing weight. Like, get pull-ups. Get to, like, the next level for you is not losing weight or even fitness. It's skill work.
Yeah.
And if you get skill work, your fitness will go up.
And we have so many people in our master's group that like came from other like competitive level, you know, master's programming. And they're just like, I don't feel beat up anymore. Like I finally, yeah.
How does that feel?
Yeah. It's like, I finally
feel normal.
I finally can do workouts where I feel like I'm putting in the effort that I know I'm capable of. And it's like, yes, this is like the whole concept of people just like, they want to get beat to pieces. Like, especially you're right in the master's community. It's like, give me pain or don't give me anything at all.
You're going to break.
Like, and that's why there's so many of these like little injuries and, you know, things like that. Cause these people are following these programs that are just like, they're just written for insane volume. And literally all we do, and we have a huge one-on-one coaching division as well. We just turn it down.
Yeah.
Let the body heal and then specifically adapt the changes that we want. And then, wow, magic. They're qualifying. We have people, we had, I think, 8 or 10 athletes at the games last year in the Masters Division.
Following WOD prep programming,
mm-hmm. yeah.
fully. So yeah. You also have a leg that's complete programming?
Yeah, yeah. So this Masters group specifically is daily programming. So like they can, but there's a lot of garage gym people who follow it. And then there are entire gyms that follow it. And there are people who go to the gym and, you know, like, let's say they go to like a more of like a Globo gym that has a CrossFit center in it. Uh-huh. They'll follow the program.
Well, and that's like Fern said, a good demographic. Who can afford this type of thing? Typically people with jobs, right?
Yeah.
Who tend to be a little over 30. All these boxes that are like, we want the pipe hitters. And I'm like, oh, the ones that can't afford your membership or the ones that are going to move when they're done with college.
Yeah.
Or like, why not get this solid demographic that have a tie to this area?
Yeah.
And then I like that idea too, you know, because when we hear from programming, my one kind of hesitation is always we promote affiliates and we want affiliates to be doing the affiliate programming.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that the majority, it sounds like, of your business model is like skill work,
yes.
which you can do outside of class.
And that's so that
or even at home.
Legitimately, that's like when I started WOD Prep, because basically the reason we made daily programming and then we even have one-on-one custom programming is just purely like demand-based. People are like, hey, I don't have anything else to follow.
Right.
Like,
or this accessory work was so great. Now right. What?
A lot of that. But the original, like my first course ever was Muscle Up Madness. That's my ring muscle up course. And the entire, like, I remember writing the sales page. It was like, my entire goal was I want you to go follow your affiliates programming
and right? do this and get a muscle.
And then all I want you to do is just add hours as the cherry on top. Cause most affiliates are not programming ring muscle up skill work, or if they are, it's like what, once a month, maybe, if you're lucky to happen to show up on that one day.
No one's doing that.
Well,
no one
is. It's tough, and this we kind of talked about this before,
but like, it's so hard.
It's hard
because not everybody wants a muscle up.
Yeah, not everybody wants one, not everybody needs one. Yeah.
There's not enough time, space,
right? If you're gonna add, because like I would agree, like if you are gonna do 15 to 20 minutes 3 times a week, I'm like, I think that is probably optimal for most people. But I can't put that in my programming for however many hundreds of athletes you have, 50 to
exactly. And it's like when, you know, Jill wants to work on double unders and then Matt wants to work on muscle. It's like, okay.
Well, and I think most people should have a garage gym, not necessarily for their programming. I think they should have a garage gym as a supplement.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
And you know, and I know it's expensive to convert a garage, but let's be real. Like the community is where it's at. You're going to go to the box, you're going to work harder, but now come home, and if you want to do accessory work or if life gets busy on a Tuesday, you can still work out. But I think that's where really the magic is. Like you need 20 minutes or so, and you can't often do that at your affiliate. So have a little space in your house. Yeah. You just need a rig, set of rings.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on which program it is. But yeah, we
but for your, I mean, most skill work.
Yeah, most skill work is I mean,
probably don't even need a barbell.
Yeah, exactly. So we just kind of realized that we wanted to add that little cherry on top for the athletes that either didn't have the person to coach them at all. Maybe they don't even go to an affiliate, but if they do, I didn't want what we released, because I'm a former affiliate owner, and I was all about, like, I want people, like, I want my coaches, I want me, I want, like, everybody to, like, do the programming. I don't want everybody in their own little silos off to the sides. And
were you doing this as an affiliate owner?
Was I doing the,
like, these types of?
No, I wasn't.
That's where I was actually going to go with this, is like, and obviously I would encourage everybody to go check out Wad Prep, but this is actually what we push people towards, is not, you know, full custom design, not, you're not even necessarily nutrition. I think everybody should have a flavor of nutrition in their programming, but things that, like, in a broader sense, we would describe as like shorter cycles of things, sure, right? Like, where you can put the masses in, per se.
Yeah.
If I had an affiliate right now, I would go buy, what's your biggest package?
The All Access Pass.
The All Access Pass.
Wad Prep Academy is what it's called.
And okay, it's forever? You have forever access?
It's $300 a year.
So you renew it annually? Mm-hmm. But I would get that. And we have a box that does this really well in California, Classified Fit. He runs 8-week programs.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did, like, for example, a running program, and the goal is like pre, you know, mile on each end.
Yeah.
But he bought Nunu's running program, right, who's a friend of ours.
Yeah.
And basically took it, but then coached it.
Yep.
And you can do the same thing. Hey,
yeah,
guys,
we
we're
have a bunch
do
of gyms to do that.
Yeah, muscle up program. And I would just rotate 8-week cycles, have a coach there, because now I can. It's hard to charge, like, oh, I can just go buy that myself. But you're also now getting a coach.
Yep.
And for a box owner, they're always like, well, how do I get my coaches paid more? We'll split that with them. You know, give them a good percentage of it, not 4/9. Give them more than that, and have them run an 8-week program.
Yeah. I mean, we did a little bit of that at my gym. You asked, like, did we do any of that? Mm-hmm. A couple things that I like to do is, like, I would give people play time where it's like, for the next 15 minutes, or like as a warm up, like, this isn't social time, right? This is like, this is practice time. Here are 3 movements that all involve pulling. All right, bar muscle ups, pull ups, or maybe ring muscle ups. You guys can choose which one you want to focus on. And here are a couple of drills to practice. And, like, I would give people play time and make sure that they're not just, like, on their phones chatting with people. And that's a good space to, like, you're giving people a chance to move and focus on, like, what that next domino is that they want to knock over.
Well, I'm thinking about it from a coaching standpoint, and some people are like, whatever. And that's your time to go deep with people. That's where you get, like, you know, a little hands-on with somebody who's got a skill, but is trying to string them together on bar muscle ups. Just like, hey, push away from the bar a little bit more when you reset for the next rep. But then I've got somebody who's on the cusp, and I could go spend 10 minutes with three or four people, and now I can not have to worry about the other. And I'm still paying attention. You know, I'll glance over and check with them. But this is your opportunity to really go deep and provide, you know, an immense amount of value. But these are one of those things where if you can get somebody a muscle up in who's on the cusp like that, like, you have provided tremendous value to them, like tremendous value with regard to, like, changing of their movement. Giving people something that they didn't have before is arguably invaluable.
Yeah. And that's our business model, man. Like, we try to release, I try to make the world's best YouTube videos. Like, that's my goal, is I want to make my YouTube videos the best coaching videos that you can find anywhere. And then I know, like, the thousands and thousands of people that have reached out to me and been like, I learned bar muscle ups watching your video, or I learned ring muscle ups. Just a lady yesterday was like, I hit my first double unders, ring muscle up, bar muscle up, butterfly pull. Like, she just went through this whole list of, and I learned all of them only on your YouTube channel. It's like, now she has that. There's certainly a factor of, I know, I like, I trust you. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, if we have an offer that she wants to engage with, whether that's one-on-one coaching or the master's program or whatever, it's like, I try to build up this goodwill. And if people only use my free stuff forever, that's totally fine too. Because
you provide value. It's the same thing we did when we started the podcast.
Yeah.
And then
it's adding to the collective whole. Like, I want more people to,
I'm going to give you what most people would say, you should charge for everything on day one. I'm like, well, first you have to determine it's valuable. And if you want to determine it's valuable, you should probably give it away. And if people consume it, okay, it's definitely worth something.
That's the CrossFit model,
right?
It's free. CrossFit is free. People forget that. Like .com, even during this change, still remains free. How many level four CrossFit coaches do you have doing these videos? A lot?
How many level four CrossFit coaches do I have in the videos?
Yeah, or? Just doing the videos, coaching, like on staff. You got a lot of them? Like 10, 20?
I have
zero, level, maybe, because there aren't many as me.
Level fours, I don't know. I have a team of...
If only there was a level four coach nearby, maybe the same town.
I don't know. That seems like a small chance.
That seems very unlikely that would happen.
Like make believe. So I had a question about, because you obviously do a ton on YouTube, and this is one of people's like biggest fears, biggest challenges, hurdles, which I think every affiliate owner should be in the educational content game. Mm. What are some of the things that you've learned with regard to producing content and distributing content that would be low-hanging fruit for somebody who's very, very timid or hesitant to kind of like start doing that? Because this is how we bridge the gap from somebody's like, CrossFit's dangerous, I'm not going in there. And I forget what book this is, but it's... If somebody,
the best hour of their day?
No, definitely. There was no valuable information in there. There was a... If somebody...
Straight firewood.
Yeah, right. It's a good doorstop.
It's not going to start much of a fire. It's small.
It's a double space. If somebody believes there's an imaginary river, right? I'm not going to convince them otherwise. I have to build them an imaginary bridge to get to the other side.
Ooh, I like that.
Not my idea, but the point is... I have this conversation with our coaching staff when we talk about sales. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to try to convince people that CrossFit is not intimidating or any of these things. I'm just going to express to them how we manage all of that going through. And this is how you start to communicate with the outside world so that they understand, oh, these guys have their stuff together. They're not just going to throw me in a class. They understand like how to get me from A to B and understand what it is that I'm looking for and what I need based on where I start. So, and it sounds like that's very much what you do.
Yeah.
What would be your guidance to people to getting into, and I don't mean like starting a whole YouTube channel, but like starting to build content to create, to position themselves as experts.
Yeah. So I would say a couple things. Number one,
get a games athlete to be your demo
and then have them bail.
Yeah. And have them turn you down.
The main key is getting started. Simply because the thing that caused me to keep the ball rolling was like, I just kind of released, like if I didn't have that deadline of like, oh, the 14.1 workout was released today, people want information now. If I didn't have the deadline, I might have never started. Right. So
creating a deadline is, I mean, I know it sounds silly, but like a lot of people never create that deadline. Yeah. Like I'll do it. It's like joining a gym. I'll do it at this point. Like, what's your deadline? I like that.
Yeah. I mean, come up with a deadline and then tell someone else about it. But like even
focusing... you told Facebook, or Meta,
yeah,
I should say.
Kind of. Yeah.
But I mean, you did, because now everybody's like, that was good. When's 14? Like, exactly. Oh, it's next Friday.
I set the expectation and then I had five videos in 5 weeks.
And thousands of people watch it. Like, oh, these thousands of people want to see the next one.
Yeah. And then the other thing is like, I think some people are like, well, what am I going to talk about? It's like, all right, there are millions of pieces of information that you can share or convey. But I would say from a coaching perspective, and I know you guys know this as well, it's like, don't coach everything. So if you have a topic that you want to do, break it down into 1 to 3 things that you're going to talk about. Start the video. This is called the bento box coaching method, where it's like
Japan.
Bento box. You start and you say, today I'm going to teach you 3 things about XYZ. And that's your intro, basically, in so many words. And that's like thing number one, teach on it. Thing number two, teach on it. Thing number three, teach on it. And then say, I hope you like this video. Let's recap. I taught you this, this, and this. Boom, you're done. Right? It's like, just organize your information so it's not just like, here's an idea, and then you just...
How long are your videos?
Especially the more modern ones, anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes.
Okay. So pretty long.
Pretty long. But I'm thinking about this is, and this is what I've learned, which is, create more concise content on the front end until you get to the point where you can do longer form stuff. That skill set transitions onto the floor, so coaching your athletes.
Well, absolutely.
As you're talking about this, like when I teach at a box, especially let's call it a clean, you know, you can sit here and recap. All right, we're going to go over the first pull, the second pull, where we're going to be like, hey guys, today I want to talk about cycling your reps, holding that hook grip,
right,
and catching it at your thigh and coming right back up on a hang power clean. And no one does that. And then all of a sudden you get like eyes opening. It's working for the beginners. It's also giving the advanced people like a nugget to and something to think about during the workout. You're just not, like you're saying, for not recording it, but you're using it on the floor.
Yeah.
But this, you know, it's synergistic. If you're using it on the floor, you can make a video of it. If you make a video, you can probably implement it on the floor.
Here's the thing that I think video provides tremendous value for, which is making your coaching clear and concise. Because if I'm trying to get, let's just say you were going to do a 60 minute video on, or not 60 minutes, 60 second. I want this to go on Instagram, not IGTV. I want to get it in 60 seconds. Practice that. Be like, hey, I need you to teach that. And I need you to teach it in 60 seconds. All of a sudden, all the extra goes out the window. You're like, hey guys, we're going to go over the catch position in the clean. Here's how I'm going to do that. We're going to pause in the catch. We're going to hold. We're going to talk about a couple things there. What should that look like? And what should it feel like? Because we're trying to avoid this muted hip receiving position in the clean. And all of a sudden you take something that you would have babbled about or stated in unclearly in some way, shape or form. And it probably doesn't go well the first time, but by the second or third, like, trial at that,
oh, yeah,
you're like, okay, I've got it down. I've practiced this. I know what I'm going to say. And I know how I'm going to say it. And all of a sudden you walk out on the floor the next day. And because I was trying to produce content that's educational in nature, I'm not shockingly a better teacher at this point.
Yep. I mean, the more you like, the best way to learn something is to teach it. And the best way to get better at teaching practice. Is to teach it.
Right.
You know, like you keep teaching and then all of a sudden you're what used to be this, like you said, like 10-minute monologue on the first pull of a snatch turns into something that's super sweet and simple, and you can explain it to the most competitive athlete in the room all the way down to someone who just graduated foundations.
So I think that's awesome. So just start is the first one. And then what else would you say is just like, is something with regard to people freak out when they get on camera or you turn a microphone on or something like that?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's all about, I mean, you're going to suck at first.
Okay? Terrible.
And the best way to get better is to do more of it and figure out like, what is the purpose? Like I wouldn't say, I mean, for anyone creating content, the go in with a specific avatar in mind, like who are you helping? Like mm-hmm. picture that person in your head and then talk to them. And that's the camera. Don't try to pre-script everything. It's just going to make you sound like a robot. And don't try to talk about everything. Like the worst business idea is a business that helps everyone with everything. Right. Or the worst podcast idea is a podcast that helps everyone with everything. You know, it's like, when people are consuming information, they want it to be for them and they want to eliminate all the fluff. So find your avatar. Who are you teaching to? Is it your affiliate? Is it a specific person in your affiliate? And then work backwards from there.
That's what we did.
Yeah.
We decided early on, like, this is for CrossFit affiliate owners only and CrossFit coaches. Yeah. Nobody else.
Yeah.
Not micro gyms, not people that are doing strength conditioning. Like, there's people that got that space covered. Like, these are the two people. This is our thing. That's all we're going
to
talk about.
Yeah.
And it happens to be what we're good at. And just like for you, you were good at coaching, like stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Like right. When Fern's setting up the podcast equipment, I don't help.
Yeah.
Cause it's not my lane. I'm not good
as productive
at
as my 3-year-old. Yeah.
But you're good at drinking coffee. So
I'm great at drinking coffee and that's what I do most
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
So I love those little tips. And I think a lot of box owners are just like, oh, I'm afraid of this. Like, just start is really a valuable, as simple as it is, it's great.
And the good news is when you first start making videos, guess what? Not many people are going to watch
them. They're not going to watch them. Everybody. So, what if I mess it up? I'm like, nobody's watching. They don't care. Yeah. I appreciate you think that they're going to have thousands of people watching this video, but they're not going to be the case.
You mentioned earlier you're big into books. I mean, I know it's a little cliche, very but big. Give us a couple.
Oof.
Other than, I mean, Best Hour, what number one. What's number two?
What kind of books? Like, what are you looking for here?
So we'll go two things. We'll go business, leadership, coaching.
Okay. Business book. So coaching. Man. Oh, man. I should have come prepared. I have so many in my mind now.
Stop recording. This has been terrible.
So. All right, business. One of my favorite business books is Profit First.
Great book.
We had
John Briggs was just in our. Well, he wrote Profit First for Microgyms, but he did a little presentation for our grad program.
Yes, Profit First is fantastic. I've been running WOD Prep through profit first since inception, and it's saved, it's helped us stay profitable for a very long time and also continue to grow, and also helps me not spend money
right
on really dumb things, which actually could be argued against as well. But so profit first for sure, business wise. The second one was mindset,
leadership.
Leadership wise, I think one of my favorite books would be, oh my goodness, The Coaching Habit.
I've seen, is that like Dan Sullivan?
Who's
that?
No,
I've seen it somewhere.
I'm totally blanking on the author. Okay. It's really, really good.
But it's called The Coaching Habit?
It's called The Coaching Habit. And it's more of, it's an internal, it's like a managerial. It's not like for coaching athletes per se.
Right.
But it's a basically a managerial technique where like you essentially are taught how to empower your employees to know the answer rather than
an affiliate
like,
owner who has coaches.
Right.
Katie, I'm going to empower you to read The Coaching Habit and then explain it to me.
It's a pretty short book too. So The Coaching Habit's really good because it
have
just
pictures, because then Jay can read it.
It helps you pull out. It helps you like just realize how capable your people are.
Right.
And how to train them. And then what was the last one?
Mindset.
No, it was like, it was business leadership. And then that the third one was coaching, like actual coaching, okay. Like into the, like the, if there is anything that you've read that's like either programming or movement based or anything like that.
Honestly, there really hasn't been.
Okay.
Because for me, and this is where I had a lot of imposter syndrome back in the day, but like for me, it's like, oh, what's your, like, what background do you have? Are you a gymnastics coach? Are you a, you know, like what certifications do you have? I'm like, trial by fire.
As a fisherman.
I've coached, you know, at this point, I don't know, maybe thousands of classes, maybe. I don't even know. I've never tried to add it up, but like I've coached a lot of classes with a lot of different people, big classes to really small classes, young people to really old people. And it's just like, I know the cues that have worked for me to help get the results that I wanted in them.
Experience.
You can't trump experience. It was just experience. So.
Except for with the level 4 credential, trumps everything.
But you have no, you have to have no experience. It's not a thing.
You just paid a fee.
Yeah. Yep. Pretty much.
Self-addressed stamped envelope.
So yeah, I mean, I'd say that was a couple other like really amazing books that come to mind, especially from like a business owner perspective, is Who Not How. That one's Dan Solomon.
I literally just read that not too long ago. Yeah. Maybe like 2 months ago. Fantastic.
I've been recommending that to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's a relatively new book.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good, great book. And that's why like I have a pretty big team now at WOD Prep, because I love hiring awesome people to do what they're really good at, and I step out of the way.
Yeah.
So you have a team now, and you went kind of against the grain and during the pandemic opened a brick and mortar.
That was only to film video.
So is that
basically my little playground?
Like, is that area in Arvada mostly like your studio?
Yeah, it's just my office and it's a video studio as well. It's like a mini CrossFit gym where my videographer comes, sets all the lights, and then we can shoot videos whenever we want, 24/7.
Very cool.
Rather than having to wait for a gym to give me space at the, you know, 1 hour period, right. And there might be someone in there for open gym, and then it's loud, and so right. I just was like, you know what, I'm just gonna buy my own place.
That's awesome.
So that was sweet.
Well, any other questions, Fern?
No, this has been great. I think there's a lot of good takeaways in this. If you're an affiliate owner, check it out. And I think
if you're just a CrossFit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm thinking as an affiliate owner, but all of those, right? If you're an at-home worker outer.
You identified when I said you're a dumb master, that athlete.
Yeah, yeah, check that out.
Check it out.
And you happen to still be listening.
Yeah. Where else can they find? Where they can they find you? Instagram handles?
Yeah, Facebook? So it's WOD Prep everywhere. So, so WOD Prep on Instagram. I still respond to the DMs. You can email me ben@wodprep.com, or wodprep.com is a good place to go. And then we have a ton of YouTube as well, which is shockingly WOD Prep. And then Facebook. So we have the whole
Meta gamut of stuff.
Yeah. We have a whole gamut of stuff, all the way from like you can buy these individual courses, you can buy the All Access Pass. We have the monthly, basically like the on, I call it like an online affiliate. Basically it was like, we tried to fill the void that was left in the community when COVID happened. And that's been really good, really, really tight community there on WOD Prep Masters. And then we do have one-on-one coaching, which one-on-one coaching is either for, we've sent people to the games all the way to, we help people get their first pull up without pain kind of thing. So
that's great.
That's WOD Prep. But like the whole mission here is like, if you are a coach or an athlete that's trying to help people like fall in love with fitness by acquiring these skills. Like that's what we do. That's what we help people with.
Yeah. From a coaching standpoint, I think, cause I still do this to this day, which is like, I'll just buy random programs and just go through them myself, learn things, like steal little tiny pieces from them, whether it's accessory work or how to teach something. Like double under is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Just like at some point you're not stacking like big, massive amounts of information. You're stealing like little tiny pieces to add them to your tool belt that help in that one instance when Sally's struggling. I'm like, I know exactly what to do here. And that thing really only kind of applies at this exact moment.
Yep. And by the time you get home, you should have that lawsuit from me for the Ackerman Penguin tag.
Cease and desist letter.
The Ackerman clap.
Yeah.
The APT, I call it. But it's been really great having you on. I look forward to hanging out in Arvada, let's hopping on a mountain bike, shooting some elk.
Yeah.
Doing manly stuff.
All at the same time. Yeah. Well,
you're a little faster on a bike. I get that elk. But it's been great chatting with you.
It's been a pleasure. I'm absolutely stoked. And if anyone has any questions, like just shoot me a DM on Instagram. Like let me know that you've listened to the podcast, and then any questions, whether it's about business or whether it's about coaching an athlete, like I love helping people.
Yeah. You're doing a lot of good stuff for the community, man. Keep doing it.
Yeah. Ultimately, we're all on the same team. We want CrossFit to keep growing because it's going to impact more lives.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast. We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.